You're not out there chasing any Wisconsin Bucks yet?
No. No. I wish. I think actually today the weather's pretty nice. We're going to take the boat for one last little joyride for the year. Put it away tonight, so...
Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and with us today, we've got PSE Pro Louis Holmes III. Louis, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
So we should probably, let's talk about it. You just said today's going to be, you like to fish, and you're
right.
going to get out there today and do a little fishing.
I think today we are going to take the boat out kind of for one last little hurrah. It's like, 70 degrees here today and no wind, so it'll be nice.
Nice. Yep. In fact, you like fishing so much, you just decided to take your boat with you to the big NFAA week-long extravaganza, I heard.
Right, I did. Yep. I've been out there numerous times, and I was like, I wonder how the fishing is out there, and there's only one way to find out. So, and it was pretty good fishing. I was glad I took the boat.
Yeah, yep. I saw some pictures. It looked like you caught some decent smallmouth.
Right. Yep, that's what I was kind of targeting. Everybody out there, they seem to be walleye fishermen, which I'm not. And so, to get on some smallies, and it was fun.
That's cool. Well, what I wanted to start talking with you about was that big event, because you went to it, and that was your first ever field archery event. You never shot field before. How is that possible?
Right. Well, I did probably 10 years ago. I shot one round, and honestly, it was a lot of arrows, and it just... At that time, and I hadn't even been like into competitive archery at that time. I just went with a hunting setup or whatever.
Ah, okay.
So we really didn't worry about the rules and things like that as much as what, you would if you went out to a national event. So, that was the one and only time that I'd ever shot a field event. But as far as like how the round went, or anything like that, truly was a lot better experience than I thought it was going to be. I was really only shooting it because why not shoot it? I'm going out for the other events, go a couple days early, and it's something I always wanted to try again. But once, the rules were explained to me, they're really simple, and it's what I liked about the round is it showed your equipment, like how well the person knew the equipment or the archer knew his or her equipment. Because there's so many variances of yardage and, not too many angles out there, but typically you'd have angles and whatnot. So I liked and enjoyed the technical part of it.
So were you surprised as you're shooting the round? Obviously you can see you're getting, you're shooting pretty well. Did that surprise you, or for you, did it just feel like, I know the distance, I can see what I'm shooting at, yeah, I should hit it?
Well, when I was talking with Crystal, while we were signing up, because it was a last minute decision for me to shoot it, when I was looking over the rules, I literally said, I can see the dot, I know how far it is, I just have to shoot the middle, and if I make a mistake with the rules, I make a mistake with the rules. So I really didn't feel like I had expectations, so I didn't have pressure. So that made it easier, to shoot, I would say. So when we were shooting, to answer the question, and the arrows literally, I went a long time where I hadn't even dropped an X.
Yeah.
And, it went from, my peers around me, Steve Anderson was kind of like, talking and saying, you just keep hitting it. And it was almost like they were having fun with it.
Yeah.
And then I did feel the point when it turned, when they were like, holy cow, this guy's shooting extremely good today. We need to support him,
Yeah.
And that's honestly when I realized like, hey, I'm doing something pretty special on this round and I probably should try to keep my head in the game and keep it going. So I think that, unintentionally I did well at the tournament because you didn't have the pressure of knowing what was going on per se.
Yeah.
But you know, and then once they were supportive and, you know, the guys around you are kind of, you know, saying, hey, keep this up. You're doing really good. You feed off of that. And then I misset my sight. So
I was
it
gonna,
was all over.
I was going to say, did you like it early on when everybody was goofing around, or then when you felt it start to get a little bit serious?
I'm more of the goof around kind of guy, you know. That's me. I would rather, you know, keep with those situations and not take them serious. But I also know when to flip the switch. But I had a lot of fun shooting it. And two, it was new. So that also made it where you wanted to shoot the next target because it's new and exciting and you're learning and whatnot. So all of those things together kind of are the reason why I feel I did well. And so was it unexpected? For sure it was unexpected. But in all reality, you know, I've been shooting my bow long enough now that I know that I can hang with them if I'm having a good day.
Yeah, right. So you know, at the end of that day, how does that feel when you look back? First off, you're on top, but then behind you, you're seeing some field legends like Dave Cousins and Jesse Broadwater, right, and Braden Gelentine, and you're ahead of them. I mean, what's that feel like?
You know, it's obviously a, you know, a humbling and cool, you know, feeling to be like, hey, I'm able to hang with these guys, you know, and like you just said, the legends. I told Dave the second day we were paired together, and I told him, if anything comes out of this, I got to shoot a field round with the legendary Dave Cousins doing his thing.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, that makes it special. But as far as like looking and thinking, okay, they're behind me, I also realized that there's two more days, so I need to try to keep this together. And, you know, if I'm going to stay ahead of them, I have to kind of not let that get to me. Otherwise, it puts added pressure and added nerves.
And so it was the second day, I believe, when you misset your sight, or tell me what happened.
No, it was the first.
Oh, was the first day?
It was the first day, right. We came up, I think it was like a 55-yard, you know, target. And it honestly was, it's not an easy shot, but it's, you know, not too much of difficulties to it. And I just walked up, set my sight to like, you know, instead of 55.2, I set it to 50.2.
Oh, gotcha.
Broke a good shot. Of course, every time you miss set your sight, it's always a good shot. So that's one of those, you know, whatever, but it felt like a good shot, you know, so that obviously was my one and only, you know, miss out of the five ring. So that was on the first day. And then, you know, the second day, just the wind got me. I'm not a wind shooter. And so that I struggled, you know, with that. But I still put up a respectable score. It's just not like it was on the first day.
Yeah, so you ended up finishing fourth, and I know you posted on social media, you know, you're disappointed you didn't make the podium, but at the same time, I'm imagining you felt pretty good about how you finished.
Right, I mean, yeah, anytime, you know, when you shoot with the caliber of people at any archery event in a pro class, if you finish in the top 50%, it's pretty respectable, and if you finish in the top 10, that's something I always feel that, you know, that's a attaboy or a pat on the back, you know. Yeah, for sure.
Now, tell us about what it was like to shoot that event or shoot that week. Because I guess which ones did you not shoot? Which ones did you go fishing for?
Okay, yeah. I did. I didn't shoot the field nationals or the outdoor nationals.
Okay.
Where they shoot the 40-50-60 right at like a 122 centimeter face.
Yeah.
I elected not to shoot that because for one, a full week of archery competition would be extremely draining. So I thought if I could keep my head in the ones that I felt I could compete the best in, I was better off doing that. And then also I just thought, you know, like I had just said, I'm not really a wind shooter. So why put myself in a situation where I have to try to shoot in the wind, which then there ended up not being any wind, or not too much wind. So I probably would have been okay, but the fishing was good. So I was definitely okay with missing that event.
And we should tell for people who may be listening who are unaware, this was the NFAA in Yankton. It was just 2 weeks ago, I think we're at now. And I mean, correct. Normally yep. These tournaments are spread out over the course of like 6-7 months, but because right. of the weird world we're in for 2020, they packed them all into 1 week. And right. so what was that like to shoot that many competitions, pro-level competitions, in the span of 5-6 days?
Well, one thing is, I know that my body, when I practice, I can shoot, you know, I could shoot 200 arrows and the next day I'm not even sore. And I don't shoot that many a day. You know, there's days that I don't shoot a lot of arrows like most guys do, but still, you know, you're not sore. But if you shoot that many arrows in competition, your body is trying so much harder that, you know, you do get sore. So when you're shooting, you know, 100+ arrows, that's a lot, you know, especially scoring and mentally. But I think that we're all okay with it, you know, like I realize that. And even like, you know, again, Steve Anderson, we were shooting. So he was like, I'm not going to be in good shape until the end of the week because he hadn't been practicing as much.
All right.
So how that was, you know, when you literally, you would shoot, we shot the field and then we got done with field. I think it's the animal round. And then 3 hours later, it's right into another event where you're shooting over 100 arrows. So that was, again, those guys, you could tell they had shot a lot of arrows in them times. So I don't know how it was to shoot all the events because I elected not to, but that was purely because I knew that I wouldn't, you know, I probably wouldn't be able to hold up. But it definitely was, you know, for those guys and hearing them talk around dinner, it was a mental state that they had to be in more than a physical state.
Yeah, because then you shot the Dakota Classic and you shot NFA indoors after that.
Correct.
Yeah.
You had, you know, I think of it like, you know, Kyle Douglas, the amount of arrows that the guys shot, you know, doing the, I don't know if it wasn't the indoor nationals, but before that, you know, they were up and out of the house at like 5:30 in the morning to go and shoot. And so they had all those matches that they shot and then to shoot indoor nationals and then to shoot in the shoot off there, you know, those guys shot a ton of arrows. So, if you wanted to know how the event went for people that shot a lot of arrows, I just couldn't fathom that. But
yeah, because Kyle won USA Archery Indoor Nationals and NFAA Indoor Nationals in the same day.
Correct. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Right. So he basically shot his bowl for like 12 hours straight.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So what do you think now, having done it, is that a good idea having all those tournaments in a week, or should they be spread out like they usually are anyway?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think that for me personally, I think it's a fantastic idea. I really like, you know, going to one spot and basically having an archery week. You know, I really enjoyed it. I truly did. The other aspect of it, as a competitor standpoint, if you have somebody that's shooting good that week, they're going to really shoot good all week. You know, you look at the guys that are on the podium, you know, Chris Schaff and Guillotine and, you know, Kyle, they really had good weeks. Where if it was spread out over those, you know, 6 or 8 months, you know, I think them podiums would have been different individuals. And I'm not saying those guys wouldn't compete or
sure.
win each event. I'm just saying that, you know, if you had a good week, you're going to have 5 good tournaments, you know, and that's fine. It's just, I like the part where it's spread out because I think that it would not give everyone an equal chance, because you do have an equal chance. It's just you wouldn't see that consistency in the podium throughout 1 week.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the other things I wanted to talk, well, actually, before I move on to that, well, congratulations then on a great week, because it was certainly fun to watch. And I'll be perfectly honest, when I went and checked the scores the first day, I was like, holy cow, Louis Holmes, first place. Awesome.
Right.
It wasn't the name I was expecting to see, you know?
Yeah.
But one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about is that, so for the ASA season, for three quarters of the season, since there were four events, you shot in the known pro, but then in the last tournament at the Classic, you switched over to open pro.
Right.
Tell me what your motivation for that was, and more importantly, I want to hear, you liked it.
Right. So I did it, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. I tried shooting in the open or unknown yardage, and I struggled at it. You know, I wasn't very good at it. I had a lot of people helping me, and it wasn't like clicking, you know. I just wasn't good at it. And I'm not saying I'm good at it now. I'm just saying I struggled at it.
Right.
Severely, like, terrible. And so I went back and I shot known for years. And in that process, I'm the type of person that it bothers me that I didn't succeed at something or at least meet my goals. So then, you know, as the years go on, it's kind of like, well, I'd like to try that again. But it's hard to try it again when you're, you know, shooting and you're competing for shooter of the year, or, you know, you think you have a chance of winning and you're shooting good, or whatever the circumstances that makes you want to shoot in the known division. But again, talking to my wife, Crystal, I'm like, you know, I think I would like to try it again because I'm really not out anything. You know, if I jumped in at the beginning of the year and I shot an unknown, say next year in the 2021 season, and I didn't like it, I would have taken myself out of any chance for, you know, a shooter of the year in a known division, because I wouldn't be able to have those scores. So I thought it was kind of the perfect situation to, you know, say the 2020 season was a bust. A lot of us struggled because we had practiced and then the tournament would be canceled, or, you know, you just didn't, your whole heart wasn't in it. So I took those, you know, a couple of weeks, and I really practiced judging yardage. And, you know, like I stated, through the years of not shooting it, you hear people talk about things and what they do, and you pick up on it. And so I tried those theories or what they do, and they started to work, you know. And so when I would be at a tournament, you know, you're on the practice range, and maybe you're like with your buddy, hey, let's judge this target for an ice cream or, you know, dinner or whatever. And I was kind of like, hey, you know, I'm not doing too bad. So again, once I got to the Classic, I still hadn't decided that I was going to shoot in the unknown. And I went and I practiced a couple, you know, on the 2 days on the practice range. And I had two targets that I was like 3 and 4 yards off on. And I thought, you know, I'm just not ready for this, right? I should stick in the known. And it was actually like 20 minutes before we had to leave to go and shoot, I was eating lunch with Jesse and Donnie, and they're kind of giving me grief, egging me on to get me to do it. And I literally said, I've got to go walk to the car because the ASA trailer's right in front of me, and I'm just going to go and do it because I'm that guy, you know, like, oh, you say I can't do it? I'm going to show you. And so then I was walking to the car just to, you know, get maybe a snack or change my shoes or whatever. And it's funny, Chris Hacker and Danny Evans are sitting, you know, the car next to me. And they're like, hey, we heard a rumor that maybe you're going to shoot with us. And I'm like, nope, I misjudged two targets by 3 and 4 yards. And they're like, well, everybody does that. And I never said a word. I literally just turned right around and I walked right to the ASA trailer and I said, sign me up. You know, like, I'm going to go do this. And I'm glad I did, because, you know, you hear controversy between the known and unknown. And I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of my own personal goals. And when I shot the unknown, I felt I achieved a goal of, you know, feeling like I can make the right decisions. And when I shot, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I literally would tell myself, this is how far it is. And I would shoot right at the 12 every time. And I mean, I would miss the target.
Yeah.
It wasn't what it was. And through the years, I've learned it's more of a chess game, you know, where you're making the right decision and the right move to get the highest score you can. And when you shoot known, it's how many points can I get? Because you know how far it is. And you know, a lot of the guys are good shots. So you're just saying, I want 2 points, you know, over par. And it's in the unknown, I would say it's more, I don't want to lose any points, you know, and then deciphering, you know, saying, hey, I think this is how far it is, but, you know, my past history and my knowledge are telling me that maybe it's a little bit closer than what I think. So I'm going to call upper, you know, playing that chess game to get and make the right decisions, you know, are what, you know, what we decide to do, you know. But
I didn't look up your score. I probably should have before I came into this, but how did you do?
I think I ended either 4 or 6 up. And I know I was 8 up at one point. I was actually in the top 5 with like 4 targets to go. And my old ways kind of, I got ahead of myself. And instead of thinking, you know, hey, let's stick with the game plan that got us where we're at and maybe gain 2 more points in those last 4 targets, I went, boy, I'm actually judging really good. I should shoot right at them.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I picked up a couple 8s in there. So, again, I wasn't playing the game of not losing points. I was playing the game of let's gain points, and it didn't work out, you know. So that, again, it's a learning curve, and that's why I wanted to, you know, shoot it again so that if I decide to do it in the 21 season or, you know, in the future, I implemented what I learned and it did work and I did learn it. It wasn't a theory anymore in my head. So it gives me a better direction of how I'm going to, you know, put together my game plans.
So, yeah. So do you know what you're going to do for 2021?
I don't. No. And reason being is, we're going to have snow here when the first tournaments, or if we have tournaments, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, chances are we're going to have tournaments. Chances are I'm going to have snow where I live. So I will decide, okay, I'm going to go down and I don't want to try judging in the snow because I think that's part of what messed me up before, looking at targets in the bright white snow. So I've still been practicing judging and still, you know, trying to learn different things that might help me. And then when we get snow, I'm going to forget about it until I go down to that first tournament in Foley and look at some targets and see how good I'm judging. And if I think I can do it, I'm going to be all in for the year. You know, that's kind of what my strategy is, kind of, you know, play it by ear and not necessarily, you know, I don't want to make a poor decision now and say I'm going to do it and then, you know, feel it. I don't want to go back on my word.
Gotcha. So a couple questions related to that. First off, then, you know, knowing the unknown game and how you're doing with judging, how does that, doing it at the level that you do it at, what does that make you think about guys like Dan McCarthy, Jack Wallace, Levi Morgan, who get up there and usually are, you know, within a yard or two, no matter what the target is.
Right. It's just a hats off to those guys. I mean, I'm not even close to the same boat as them. You know, they have played the game so long, you know, and talking and hearing Dan talk, he says some weekends his yardage brings him through the weekend. And then if his yardage isn't good, his shooting brings him through the weekend. And then you have those magical weekends that your yardage and your shooting come together. And those guys have those weekends a lot. I mean, they are it's incredible to, you know, watch it and see it. And people that, you know, have shot known, I don't think that that respect is there as much as it should be because of what they've learned. I mean, they literally can look at a target and they have spent so much time and they're so personal with that target that they look at it and they say, this is the light, this is where it's sitting, this is the angle, or whatever goes on in their brain. I wish I knew because I would be better at it. But all of that experience and hard work comes together and then look at the target and they say, this is how far it is. And then they're all phenomenal shots, so they're able to make that shot as well. I mean, it's incredible. Like, trying to do it is one thing, and I mean, I'm happy with how I did at the Classic, but it is nothing compared to what, you know, those guys. I don't even know how happy I'd be if I had one day of a tournament that I was able to do what they did. And if I did, it would be a lot of luck, you know, I mean, flat out.
Well, speaking of luck, I should say, they have some of that too. I remember one year at, it was the tournament that's in Georgia, Fort Benning. I think it was 2 years ago when Dan McCarthy was just having one of those weekends, like you said, where everything was working. Well, even the luck was working because I was watching a target where he was shooting with Jeff Hopkins, and he hit Jeff Hopkins' arrow, which was almost up in the 8. It was in the 10 ring, clipped off a Hopkins' arrow, and knocked McCarthy's into a 12.
I know, right.
Jeff was looking through binoculars. He just turned and said, oh, it's going to be one of those weekends now, huh?
Right. It's the infamous glance in.
Yeah, right.
For every 100 glance out, you get one glance in. Right.
But in talking with those guys from the Open Pro Division, did you find out that a lot of them have that same strategy that you're talking about where they try and hedge, you know, usually I'm a couple yards off, so on this one, so I'm going to aim high or low. Did you find that a lot of them play that chess match as they're managing a course?
Right. I think so. I think that, the way, and again, like that range is way more serious. I mean, when you step on it, you can hear a needle, you know, drop. Like they are there to do a job and they are 100% focused on what they're doing, which again, I'm not used to because I don't focus on much at all, you know? So I think that a lot of guys do, and they let the first 4 or 5 targets dictate what's going on. You know, so when they're shooting, you know, they walk up to the first one and maybe they shoot at a center 10, you know, and boy, I hit it. And then they go to the next one and they hit it. And then they start making their game plan from there. And if they start maybe hitting a little high or a little low, they're always adjusting their game plan, you know, and that's something I didn't do before. You know, I literally was like, well, my game plan is to shoot every 12. That's not the way that I don't know any of them that, you know, that I've talked to that would play that game. You know, it's maybe not who judges the best. It may not be who shoots the best. It may be who makes the best decisions, you know, and that to me is what's intriguing about it. You know, how well-rounded, you know, some of those guys are to be able to know when they walk onto that range, it's raining or it's foggy, and they can adjust to their game plan before they fail. You know, where me, I would walk out there and be like, it's raining. I don't realize that, you know, it's darker. Everything's going to look farther or, you know, whatever to me, closer, you know, whatever it looks to me, they already know that because they have that experience and time doing it. So they're able to go, okay, I'm going to start out, I think it's 40 yards, but it's probably 42 because it's dark out. And then they shoot and they get a 12. You know, it's pretty
right.
Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, that, well, what are your thoughts then? I mean, there's always, as you mentioned, there's always the known unknown. And there's no doubt that the known pro division is, there's a lot of guys shooting that compared to
right.
The unknown. And, you know, people are talking, oh, this is the it's the direction it's going is known, not right. unknown anymore. You've played in both worlds. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I know that, yes, man, I think today's world, people are, first off, they're more okay with failure, and they want it easier, you know, and I think that's, I'm not saying in archery, I'm saying that as a general rule of thumb for the world. And I don't want to get into it, you know, whatever, because I'm that guy too. I've shot known, and I don't want to take any disrespect away from anybody that shoots known, because I think that there's a whole separate, you know, thing with known that makes it difficult, that gets overlooked, you know? So for me to like look at the whole thing as a spectrum of known versus unknown, I think that they're both difficultly hard, you know, and I've heard people say, well, you switch to shooting unknown because it's easier to win. And I literally responded, if you think it's easy to beat Levi, Jack, you know, Danny Evans, Pam McCarthy, you know, whoever, go do it. Yeah. You know, let's see this happen. And literally that's what I said.
Yeah.
And I think the same as far as known, the reason why known is excelling is because more people can compete. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to, I don't think you have to have a range of targets to compete in unknown, but I do think it's a huge benefit, right? So in the unknown world, you can practice, you have a good sight tape. You know, it makes it where the average person, the working man, or, you know, whatever it may be, it, you know, you have guys that have kids or whatever, they just can't spend the time it takes to do the unknown. They're able to compete at the highest level. And that's why there's more in that division, because, and when I say easier, I don't mean it in a negative way. I mean it like it's okay to be that guy, to shoot in known because, you know, you worked or, you know, you're building houses or whatever. But for the guy that wants, in my opinion, the ultimate, you know, of satisfaction, when you shoot a 12 in known, it's kind of expected. When you shoot a 12 in unknown, it's like, I just made all of the right choices and I made a good shot, and it's more satisfying to me. And I'm not saying it is to the next guy, but, so the guy that can put in that extra work and see the benefits of it, I think the unknown is better for that person. But I don't know if I answered your question.
No, I think you did, because it's, you know, we always hear, for me personally, I think, why not have both? What's the problem? Yeah, you know, the unknown, that's a whole, there's a whole other skill set that's involved. Yes, there's archery, but then as you mentioned, you know, getting that internal rangefinder. I mean, just think of the internal rangefinder that's in Levi Morgan's head. I mean, that's just that's an incredible skill that he has, and you know, he wouldn't be able to use that in known distance, or wouldn't be put on display. So yeah, why not? And yeah, it's just it would be nice to see. Because when you go down then in ASA, if you go down into the amateur classes, then it skews very heavily more so towards the known side. That's where the numbers really are. But probably because of what you said, there's, you know, there's a lot of those guys definitely all have full-time jobs. And
you know, for me, I think, and I've said this, you know, like I would love to see the pinnacle be where it's one day of each. You know, you can shoot, you know, known 50 would be, you know, known semi-pro. And then you would have semi-pro where you're judging. And then when those guys shoot out or decide to move up, you know, the cream of the crop would be you shoot one day known, one day unknown.
Uh-huh.
And the guys that, you know, the guys that feel that, you know, the unknown yardage guys, because literally they'll say they're not as good as shooters, they just know how far it is. Well, I'm here to tell you, you know, I think some of those guys have won indoor events, right?
Yeah,
you know, like I think they've proven themselves.
Yep.
Let's not go down that road. So, and again, that's where I'm like, I don't think people look at the whole picture, you know, of, yes, they've kind of got both going on, but if you put them and they know how far it is, then their scores are going to jump way up. And I don't think that's the case. I mean, I know when Chance started shooting in the known division, you people are like, he's going to be shooting 60 up. We don't have a chance. And it doesn't happen like you would think because there's so many variables of the glance outs. I mean, if you have five people shooting at a target and it's 20 yards and they're all shooting, a 27 diameter shaft, you're the fifth guy up and you're like, well, this isn't very cool,
yeah.
You know? And so then another strategy comes in where, you know, like Jesse is shooting two different arrows and he's got two different sight tapes. And, and I tried that as well because there's a benefit to it. So there's, you know, obviously both sides, again, they have their difficulties.
Yeah.
So,
what do you consider yourself? Do you consider yourself a 3D archer or, I mean, obviously you shoot all the indoor stuff too. How would you classify yourself?
If I had to say deep down what my passion is and who I am in archery, it's a bow fisherman. That's who I am. Bar none. That's who I am, but I'm not anymore, right? I tried archery, you know, and I succeeded at it, and I'm continuing to do that. And if I had to say, am I an indoor guy or 3D guy, or I have no idea. I really don't. Like when I first started, and I shot some good indoor scores, a 900 in Vegas, I was an indoor guy when I went to the 3D range. And then I had some success in the 3D range, and people, when I would go to an indoor, they would say, oh, you're a 3D guy. So for me, I would like to just say that I want to be a good deer hunter, a good bow fisherman, and a good person, you know, and if I do have success in 3D or, you know, target archery or whatever it may be, it's a bonus, I guess. It's not necessarily like I am a 3D guy at heart. I would prefer to shoot 3D because the atmosphere is, you know, the more joking around, but I also like the perfection of indoor where, you know, for the rest of all of our lives, unless the venue changes drastically, when you go to Vegas, you have to shoot a 900, and it is the prestige of doing that. That's what I love about indoor, you know. So every venue has its, you know, things that I like about it, and I wouldn't say that I am directional towards one.
Gotcha. So right now, you just finished with the big NFA week. We're in hunting season, so obviously you're in that mode. When do you start training for indoor? What's next for you as far as target archery?
Well, I think they've canceled a couple of the smaller, like they're not a national event, but they're like a Midwest where, so some of those have already been canceled, but I think, I'll probably train just like they are going to happen. You know, I'll keep the same regimen, because otherwise I feel a person gets lazy, and that's what I learned from this past year. You know, you're like, well, I don't even know if they're going to do that tournament, so I'm just going to shoot my bow the day before and go. And I think that I don't want to be in that mode because if you get nervous and you're weak, you really see those nerves.
Uh-huh.
And when you're strong and, you know, and ready for it, you're more confident, you have less nerves. So you're going to see those nerves less by two. So I think for me, if I would say in the perfect world, I would like to shoot at least, 60 arrows a day through December, or more every day, depending if I'm working on things and make sure that I'm at least in decent enough shape that, you know, when the tournaments kick off, I'm ready for them.
Gotcha. And I guess we should ask, since it is October 8th and we're just getting into the fall hunting season, do you have some big deer lined up?
I don't. before I went to Yankton, I had two deer. I would have liked to have shot either one, but I'm kind of a stickler on the piece of property I was on. that I didn't want to shoot them. I'd like to, you know, see if they can make it, you know, another year or two. But other than that, I stopped running cameras a few years ago, and Hadley and I just drive around and, you know, look at deer, and I think it makes it more exciting and whatnot. So
really,
right? Because it's I would get where this is the deer I want, and then I would end up letting deer go that I felt that later on I should have shot because they were the age that I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, I would be so directed at one particular animal, and I would sit in a stand and literally I would feel like I'm wasting my time because I hadn't had a picture of him in, you know, 3 days or something. So, like last year I just went hunting, you know, where the piece of land that I hunt, by my house, it's just out of town. It's always going to have something on it that is, you know, the age class that I would like to shoot. So I think it just makes the hunting more exciting when you have deer coming out and you're like, oh, is he going to come out tonight? You know, am I going to see that deer that I want to shoot? As far as having a big deer around, I know that I truly believe that there's a big deer around. I just have to put my eyes on it.
Gotcha. Huh. Boy, this is a great education about Louis Holmes going anti-technology when we're getting into the cell phone cameras, and you just say, forget it.
I will be honest, I love cameras. I love seeing them, you know, but it's really disappointing. I know, again, years ago, there was a really big deer. It was like in the 180s, 10 pointer, like, you know, just an absolute beautiful deer. And I checked the camera going into my rifle stand, you know, and I put the card in when I get in the stand, and I'm like, he left like at 4:30 this morning. He was going into town, you know? So it was like, I was defeated before the hunt even started. So that was kind of the absolute point of, and I'm not saying I wouldn't put a camera out tomorrow. I'm just saying that I think it makes it more interesting and more fun for me, you know, and Hadley likes to drive around and look at the deer, and it gives us something to do. And, And another thing, the cell cam, I think that they're an amazing tool. But I didn't have those when I stopped using the cameras, and I didn't like accessing, you know, the land. So that's another reason I stopped using them. But
was there anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about?
Not really. You know, I appreciate, you know, being a person that you guys picked to do a podcast, I guess, you know,
for sure.
Like to, I guess, just put a shout out to friends and family that have supported me. I can't go through the list because I wouldn't remember them all, but without, you know, people at home filling in for me when I'm gone, or, you know, all my sponsors that take care of me, it's, you know, pretty cool deal. Archery has been a road that I didn't expect. You know, I literally went to my first event 6 or 7 years ago and wanted to try it, and the rest has been a bonus.
Yeah, I guess that was the one thing that I didn't ask, now that you just reminded me. You were always a bow hunter, and what? You just said, I'll try this tournament archery and see what it's like.
Right. Dwayne Price used to come. He had a cabin by my house. So a couple of times I opened up our club for him to practice in when he was here. This was years ago. And, you know, he would tell me about shooting the events and how we did. And I'd watch him shoot, and I'd be like, yeah, I could probably beat this guy. You know what I mean? Just my personality. And so I'd give him grief, you know, and we'd laugh about it. And Dwayne, being the guy he is, he was always like, well, you should try it. If you think you can do it, you should try it.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I kind of, it was a friend that just passed away here a year ago. He kind of bet me, like, hey, I bet you can't shoot a good score again or something, because I hadn't shot in a long time. And I picked up a bow that wasn't even remotely close to my draw or anything. And I shot a 56X on a, you know, NFA blue and white face. And I was like, oh, that was kind of fun. So then, you know, I bought some stuff to, you know, kind of get myself back into it. And I thought, you know, before I get out of bow fishing, I should go and talk to Dwayne. So I went down by Dwayne and I shot, you know, a couple arrows, and Came home, and the next day he called me up and he's like, I've never told anybody this, but I think you got it. I think if you wanted to do this, I think you could do it. I'm like, okay. You know, kind of part of me was like, he's probably, you know, I didn't know Dwayne that well at the time. And I'm like, you know, maybe he's just telling me to make me feel good or whatnot. So I went down and I shot, you know, indoor nationals as a bow hunter, and I did real good at it. And then I started watching YouTube and learning, and I'm like, I think I can shoot with these guys. And my goal was that one day, if, you know, I was standing on the line with Jesse or Rio or, you know, the guys that I was watching on video, if they looked at me and thought, hey, this guy could win the tournament, that was like what my goal was. And so I guess I met that goal. Or, I mean, well, I don't know. I never asked them, but maybe they all think I still don't have a chance. But I'd like to think that, you know, I was actually, you know, I'd just like to think that I make them sweat a little bit is all. And that's okay for me.
So, gotcha.
Yep.
That's cool. Good, good. I'm glad I got that point in there, just so people know how you got started.
Right. And two, like, honestly, I don't think it matters what you like to do. What I learned out of this whole, you know, this whole venture is, if you like something, you should do it. If you're good at something and you want to be better at it, work hard at it and get better at it. If you want to compete at something at a national level, you should try it. Because failure, again, I said that earlier, failure is okay. And Dan McCarthy told me about unknown yardage. You're the only one that dictates if you fail. Everybody else can say whatever they want. You're the one that decides when you have failed. So, you know, if you like archery and you know, think, hey, I'm shooting in my backyard and I'd like to experience it, ASA has hundreds of different divisions. You know, there's any type of venue that you want to shoot, go and try it, because you don't know where you're going to go. I had no expectations. I didn't know that, you know, I would be talking to you, you know, 6 or 7 years later. I had no idea. And now I would like to say I'm a respected archer that's well-rounded and people like to be around. And none of that would have happened if I had never tried it. You know, if my wife and I and, you know, Dwayne hadn't encouraged it, and, you know, Crystal being supportive and my family being supportive. And so it's something that I think that people just should try things.
All right, that's another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Louis Holmes, we certainly appreciate your time today.
I appreciate you guys spending the time with me and getting to say my side of the story on a few things. And it's definitely been a fun trip, and I'm glad that you guys called me.
Louis, folks who want to follow your archery journey at home, where can they follow you on social media?
I'm pretty much just a Facebook guy. So Louis Holmes III, LewisHolmes, Roman numeral 3.
Gotcha.
That's where you'd be able to hunt me up.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. You can find us wherever you find your favorite podcast. We are on all the platforms. Thanks for joining us today.